Welcome back to the Northwest Herald High School Football Podcast. I'm sports editor John Stife. I'm here with sports reporters Joe Stevenson and what's your name?
Sean Hammond.
He's the new guy. We're here to talk about week three. We'll start with Bennett at Marion. Sean, you're writing a story on Marion. Tell us what you know.
Yeah, well, I know that they have a young offensive line. They're coming off two good wins, but maybe not against the best quality opponents. But two wins is two wins. Bennett has a really good quarterback.
Can you pronounce his name?
I cannot pronounce his name. I could spell it if we'd like to.
Please do.
Quick. Jack Szanajder.
Szanajder.
Is that actually?
I have no idea. Oh, okay. I just made that up. So Bennett's pretty good, right, Joe? SCC's pretty good. Bennett's pretty good. This is a challenge for them.
Yes, it's a good challenge for them. Bennett was a 7A quarterfinal team losing at Cary last year. And I forgot to look this up, but I believe the first 2 years in the ESCC, Marion did not play Bennett and Marist. Isn't that right?
I don't think they've played them.
The schedule shifted this year, and they play those two, and now they don't play two other ones.
Nats.
So this is not a team that Marion has seen before,
yeah.
To my knowledge.
That makes sense. Or at least not since Maloney's been there. Maybe they played them at some point previously.
Yeah, maybe a long time ago.
But who knows?
Right.
Yeah, they haven't. What I've seen of Marion is in the highlights, they're very good at updating their huddles. So I've seen Brian Nemesek run. I've seen Jake Ball looks pretty impressive. So does Brunken. You know, I liked what I saw from him. Gavin Scott. They've all been successful. They've got confidence now. In week three, the challenge obviously increases. And from reading John Wilkinson's story from up in Milwaukee, Mike Maloney's well aware of that. And he's already told them, hey, going to be a lot more difficult this week. Those mistakes you made last week are going to hurt you a lot more now.
This junior group, I believe, won 8 games last year, something like. They were pretty good with Gavin Scott leading the way at quarterback. He's a big kid and he can really run well. And so they did have quite a bit of success last year on the sophomore level. That's a big jump. And, you know, then you throw the seniors in there, you don't know how that all will translate. But they were pretty good last year at the sophomore level, Marion.
Now you're on the spot. Sean, who are you picking?
I'm picking Bennett.
Joe?
I just haven't seen enough yet. I'm going with Bennett.
Two Bennetts. Johnsburg at Richmond Burton. Joe, that's the game you're going to be at this week. Tell me a little bit about that one.
I'm looking forward to this one. I have been singing Johnsburg's praises all summer, and I think this is a really good team. I think Richmond Burton's a really good team, and I think this is going to be a good game, a good test for Johnsburg, maybe like Plano was in the first week. But I really like what Johnsburg's doing. You know, Riley Buchanan had a really nice game at quarterback last week. Nico LaDolce is their big receiver, and he's not big, he's fast. He's their leading receiver, and they are coming up with another thing to take a little pressure off Alex Pete, who's their great running back.
And Alex was slowed down a little bit in week one, but had a big week two. And here's the interview with him. It was our football player of the week from after
almost
the game.
250 yards and you ended up 248 and then 55 receiving. What was going right for you out there today?
Everything. I give all my credit to the line once again. They did everything that they needed to do, and I feel like I made the right cuts. And I had a lot of trust in Bryce and Bryce Jordan, him getting to the backers that he needed to get to. And I just had my hand on his back, and he led me the way along with the line.
What do you think the offense has shown through these first 2 weeks? What kind of team are you looking at here?
I feel like we should have scored a lot more last week, but this week we put a lot of points on the board, a lot of big plays. I feel like everybody knows that we're a big play offense and we do it consistently. So I think that's what makes our offense special, and that shows a lot of our athletes that we have. And it's not just, it's not just throwing the ball, it's not just running the ball, it's everything. You know, we have lots of throwing touchdowns, lots of running touchdowns, lots of everything. So that shows a lot about our offense.
You opened the fourth quarter there with a 7-yard touchdown right after Rochelle scored. What would you see on that play?
I was running an outside zone play, and I saw the backside backer just fly past the zone, and that was just wide open. I just went right up the middle.
Right, I think there was one guy chasing you. He kind of fell down off the 20. Did you kind of feel him on
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I kind of knew he was there, so I just sped it up a little bit. And then from there, right on the 20, I was like, all right, we got this.
All right, man.
Sean, you talked to Alex for the Football Player of the Week Q&A. What interest did you get out of that?
Yeah, I talked to him last night. I learned that he has played the piano since third grade, and he eats Fruity Pebbles for breakfast.
Can't complain about that. And his quarterback, Riley Buchanan, had an interview with him as well after the game. Alex Kentucky did. Here it is.
All right, Riley, congrats on the win today. You guys put up 46 points. I just kind of tell him what was going right for you guys on offense.
Oh, man. I think a lot of it was just really focusing on ourselves. We had to clean up some things, but when we hit on all cylinders, it really worked well for us.
All right, a lot of big runs by Alex there.
Right, he's a special player.
Yeah, what's it like, you know?
Oh, man, it's kind of nice when you hand off the ball and the line makes great blocks and you just see him running 70 yards down to the end zone. It's a good feeling for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then you and Nico have a really good connection out there. Can you kind of just talk about that connection?
Yeah, I mean, me and Nico go back from as soon as I knew that he was going to be one of my receivers, he was showing up in the summer, you know, at least every other day, working on the field, just me and him throwing routes. And it's kind of just been that chemistry with us, and we got a special bond. So.
All right, through the first 2 weeks here, how do you feel the offense is looking?
I feel like we're only scratching our potential, for sure. You know, we've had some flashes and stuff, but we really need to pick it up. And I think once we hit on all cylinders, we'll be really, really, really dangerous.
All right.
Richmond Burton is a team that lost in week one. And one of the interesting matchups here will be, they were talking about Alex Pete running. He's probably going to have a hard time running inside if you look at Richmond Burton. I saw week one, there was a lot of Joey St. Pierre and Dalton Wagner in there. Those guys are huge. Wakanda tried to kind of run on the outside away from him, had success right away. You know, in later in the game, it looked like, you know, that was Joey's first game playing football. So he made some mistakes. He also made some tackles in the backfield. So there were some great plays, too, and they have a lot of potential. So how he's able to run against that line, and a lot of it is a three-man front that they're running out there, and we'll see if they do that against Johnsburg as well. What do you think about their ability to do that, Joe?
About Johnsburg's ability to run on Richmond, I agree with you that those guys, yeah, they're going to take up a lot of space and stuff. I think Johnsburg will find a way to get Alex get him free for some yards. I don't know if it'll be as many as it was last week, but that's their bread and butter. That's what they have to do well as throwing the ball to Nico and a couple other guys, but.
When we're talking about the matchup the other way, I know that Richmond Burton had a lot of problems scoring in week one, and they improved that a lot in week two. There were actually some snap issues in week one that they had that really killed some drives. So we talked a little bit, Alex did, to Blake Lemke. He plays some defense. He's also a kick returner for Johnsburg. Here's that interview.
All right, Blake, you guys picked up the 46-21 victory over Rochelle. Can you just talk about the defensive effort today? You held them pretty stout there in the first half.
We did all right in the first half. We had a bad first drive. I thought we could have done a lot better. And overall, we held them after that, but I still think we had a lot of mistakes that we got to clean up.
All right, what are you guys looking to clean up going forward then?
Just no stupid penalties, no stupid mistakes. People got to stay in their positions. But other than that, we played pretty well. We played hard. Everyone hit hard, and it was good overall team effort.
All right, yeah, so you guys are 2-0 now. How do you feel the defense is progressing here through the first 2 weeks?
I think we have stepped it up a lot over the first 2 weeks, but with Bryce Smith going down today, that's going to be a tough obstacle to tackle. But I think we got some younger guys that can really step up and play their role.
Right, and you got a big game next week, obviously, against Richmond Burton. It's the first KRC game of the year. What are you guys going to have to do to, you know, come on top on that one?
We're really just going to have to clean up what we couldn't do this week because they run a very similar offense. We're just going to have to step up, play a tough game, and clean up any mistakes.
Thanks a lot.
Joe, you've been high on Johnsburg all year. Is this the biggest challenge they're going to have?
I don't know. Plano was pretty good coming out of the gate. I think this could be a similar game to that. And he mentioned Bryce Smith there. I don't know his status yet. He's a linebacker for Johnsburg. And Coach DeBoof, the other night I texted him. He said that he was supposed to get looked at on Tuesday and haven't spoken with him since. But they were hoping for the best. I don't know how bad it is. It may be something where he couldn't play this week but could come back later. And they were just hoping for the best. So,
Sean, who are you taking?
I'm taking Johnsburg. Like we talked about just a moment ago, they do have those other weapons besides Pete too, so I think they'll come through.
Joe?
I'm going with the Skyhawks as well.
All right, game number three, Prairie Ridge at Crystal Lake Central. Prairie Ridge is a team you've seen twice already this year, Joe, and you had an interview with Austin Furbit after the game. Very interesting moment on a play that he kind of suggested. Here's that interview.
Prairie Ridge tight end Austin Furbit, you guys beat Huntley tonight 31-20, and Coach said that you called for a play that worked. What happened there in the second half? He said you came and told them something that you saw that was open.
You know, they really switched defenses up on us in the second half. They were leaving our outside veer wide open. So me and Jeff went to the sideline, called that play out, and we ran it and scored a touchdown on it next play.
And what was it? Was a pitch to Cole Brown? Is that
what
it was?
Yeah, it was. We ran a veer, and Samson kept it and pitched it to Cole for a touchdown.
So what did you think when you saw Cole running in after you guys had made the suggestion and you guys ran that? What would that feel like?
It felt awesome knowing that me and Jeff we brought that play to life right there. We set that up.
What does this do for you guys now to be 2-0 and to beat a team like Huntley?
It brings our confidence way up. You know, we're a team to be reckoned with right now.
Joe, they are a team to be reckoned with. They beat what many consider to be the two other best teams in the FEC, but this week they get a 2-0 Crystal Lake Central team. Is there any chance for a letdown game on a Ridge?
I don't think so. Coach Shrimp talked about it after the game. You know, they play these two huge games to start the season, and that they have to maintain the focus. But I think they know that, and they know this team. They could really do something special this year. I don't think they're and. Being kind of a rivalry game with Crystal Lake Central, I don't think there's any way they're looking past them.
And Crystal Lake Central, I saw them play in week two, was pretty impressed with what they were able to do at times offensively. They, you know, played a really close game and then made the plays at the very end to, be able to pull away, get that lead, win 27-19. The biggest play was Vinny May, his 33-yard touchdown run. Here's an interview with him after the game.
All right, that 33-yard touchdown run, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, they had about eight guys, I think, stacked in the box, so Coach called a perfect play for it. Our linemen did all the job. They took their bucket steps. They hooked all their guys. Wide receivers stayed on their blocks. Really, I was just carrying the bread. That's all it was. All props to the line.
That second half, you guys were able to come back from behind. What did you guys do right?
Just starting the off season, you know, working hard all summer long. We've been conditioning, staying, keeping our minds right, talking to each other, always picking each other up. That's all it is. Nothing else to it.
All right, in Braden's play to knock that ball loose on the kickoff, how big was that?
That was awesome. That was icing on the cake. Great play by him, and then Pence with the pickup.
And what did it mean to you guys to beat South?
It's surreal. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be moved up sophomore to be on it, so I knew the feeling, and I was craving it ever since then. I'm chasing it, and I'm proud of all my players, all my teammates. Couldn't do it without them.
When you're keeping stats and trying to tweet and all those things, sometimes you look down for a little bit, and I happen to do that on a lot of kickoffs. So I glanced up, and I saw the ball loose, and Pence fell on it, who actually went to Crystal Lake South in the past, and apparently Braden Bizram made a play on the ball. It was kind of it was bouncing. Chuck Osmond after the game said, you know, you got to attack that ball, and sometimes bad things happen on the kickoff, but you got to, you know, especially with the odd shape of the football, it can bounce anywhere. But it was a huge play. You know, after Vinny scored that touchdown, they kicked off and South fumbled it, and they were able to get it and kind of sit on maybe a minute of clock, but also South had to use all their timeouts to get the ball back. And then, you know, they needed to go 80 yards with like 2 minutes left, and Central was able to stop them after three plays. So pretty impressed with that. John McLaughlin, I talked to him after the game about the win.
We need that.
All right, Vinny May had quite a few yards. I think it was 150 today, but that 33-yard touchdown run near the end, that was a key play for you guys.
Yeah, you know, he is pretty much our, you know, he's the our leader on our football team. He's a senior. He's a returning starter at back. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, we want to be able to give the ball to him. And hopefully he's kind of back as the game goes on. He gets better. The more carries he gets, the better he gets. I think he wears defenses down, you know, behind the line and so on.
All right, and what were you guys able to do in that second half to come back and take that lead?
I think the big thing was just pretty much grit. I think the defense stepped up and made some key stops. We were able to put the ball in. I believe it was on, what was it, Vinny's run? And then we followed that right up with that special teams play where we had the kick on the sideline and recover off of Bizram's big hit. It was just, hey, keep pounding away. I thought we were wearing them down. And, you know, the kids just, we kept telling them, keep fighting, keep leaving. And that was pretty much it.
All right, you had gone a couple quarters without scoring after the 14 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Then the offense kind of got things back together. Mm-hmm. What happened? What changed?
Well, you know, I never really thought the offense stopped. I thought it was more we kind of stopped ourselves sometimes with penalties or things like that. They left probably two or three scores off the board where we gotten inside the 15-yard line, came away with nothing. Just a matter of finish, you know, finish what you start. You know, pretty much I started the fourth quarter. I told the kids, hey, we're entering the final chapter of your story. You seniors, how do you want it to end? How do you want it to end? How do you want to finish the story? So that was a big thing to them that I told them, and they went out and executed and did a nice job.
One of the interesting things about this Central offense so far is that they've won two games, but they've won them in different ways. They, you know, against Grant, they started out slow, but then they were able to pass and have success doing that and get the win. This game, it was really about the run game, you know, running behind Dan Berg and Wyatt Blake and that offensive line to kind of pound out some yards. Talk to QB Jake Staples about that after the game.
All right. What's it mean to win this game?
Oh, it's huge. You know, the past few years we've had a really hard time beating them. We'd get out in front and then they come back. Like last year we got up, I think, 14-7. They came back with three unanswered. And when we got down 19-14, we were all starting to talk about that. So it was really big to come back through that adversity and win this game for us.
What did you guys do right in the second half?
Well, first of all, our offensive line was unbelievable tonight. You know, last week relied a lot on the pass game, but this week, our run game was absolutely crazy. We were running the ball. I could have been better, but thankfully our offensive line and run game were crazy. And from the beginning to the end, our run game just was really unstoppable, I feel like.
How important was that run Vinny had, the 33-yard touchdown run?
That was huge. You know, he runs so hard, but that was big for him. That's the first one I think he's broke off all season, so that's huge for him and our offensive line and the whole team, really. I think that really sealed the game for us when he scored that.
Joe, matchup of 2-0s. Who you got in this game and why? Anything else you want to add about it?
Well, one thing is when we had the Central guys in here for a podcast, they were talking about how Vinny was in better shape and was really ready to go this year. And that's, so it's good to see that he's out there doing that job for them. That said, I'm going with Prairie Ridge. I think Prairie Ridge can win Class 6A, and I'm going with Prairie Ridge.
And it's not just Vinny, too. What's important about having a good running game is be able to have a couple guys back there. And, you know, just like South is able to do when they kind of mix it up and give it to Kyle Leva, and he has some crazy numbers as far as average per carry when it's Swatley doing a lot of the running. I mean, Central has that same thing with Vinny May, but Braden Bizram is kind of mm-hmm. the guy that, you know, has a little bit more speed, isn't going to be as much of a – you know, carry a couple guys with you for 3 yards runner, but, you know, he's fast, and he got a lot of yards, too. I think he had, like, 80 or 90 yards in that game. Sean, who do you got in this game?
I got Prairie Ridge, too. I don't see a letdown happening this week.
Joe's got now a word from our sponsor.
Looking for gear, collectibles, houseware, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises? We've got you covered. Loot Crate offers a range of geek and gamer items for less than $20 a month. Want to bring your loot to the next level? Get a bigger box or even bigger loot from Loot Crate DX. If you're more the type to wear your geeky heart on your sleeve, then Lootwear, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription, is what you're looking for. Get ready for September's high-octane theme, Speed. This month's Loot Crate has a high-octane assortment of goodies from Batman, CW's The Flash and Arrow, Battlestar Galactica, Iron Man, and Gone in 60 Seconds. If you have a style need, you'll love our Speed Lootwear collection. Featuring Sonic socks when you gotta go fast, a Transformers wearable for your world-saving needs, a winning Mario Kart tee, and more. This Lootwear collection is gonna zoom away quick. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When that cutoff happens, that's it, it's over. Make sure you head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W, and enter code Shaw and save $3 off any new subscription.
I'm setting my clock to Pacific time right now so I don't miss that deadline. All right, Jacob's at Crystal Lake South. Sean, I think this is your game. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
What do you know?
I know that Jacob's is coming off a win over Dundee Crown after that, a tough loss at Huntley in week one. They got shut out, but they rebounded. I know Crystal Lake South. What do we know about Crystal Lake South?
I watched them both games, so I can tell you that. They're 0-2, and I can tell you after the game, Chuck Osman was, he kind of caught the perspective of it. They were really frustrated, and he was like, it's really a crazy dynamic. You guys are standing over there, and it's like a party, and then you come over here, and it's like a funeral talking to us. And, that's kind of how it felt to them. And they've lost two games that were relatively close to this point, but I'm sure there was a lot of frustration, too. One thing I noticed is, they got a little banged up, too. Cheyenne Malik played a lot in the first half, was pretty effective defensively, and then, not so much in the second half. He aggravated a hip injury. Trevor Keegan, was he injured or did he just not play as much on the defensive line? Probably somewhere between the two. They had some moments on the defensive line where they looked really good. I think they had four or five sacks, but it just wasn't enough against all these other teams are improving too, so they better improve a lot quickly. And this seems to be a winnable game for them, right, Joe?
I think it does. I think this is a really tough game to pick when you look at these two. Jacobs hasn't done a great deal offensively. South looks like it has done some offense and maybe needs a little work on its defense. But I think, looking at those two games, I think you're probably right. Frustration is probably a good word for South right now. That they have to feel like they were right in those two games. They could be 2-0.
They absolutely were, and it was just a couple of plays here and there, not being able to move the ball when they needed to. And I really liked the running game. I really liked the speed of Michael Swatley and his breakaway ability. And like I mentioned, Kyle Leva is a great change of pace. But it's just a matter of getting Nolan on a roll and kind of getting guys out there that can make plays when he gets it to him. Sean, who you got in this game?
I'm taking Jacobs. I think another thing that we haven't really touched on, but to keep in mind, is that their defense just shut down Greg Williams from Dundee Crown, who in week one had almost 400 yards rushing.
Joe, who you got?
Man, this is tough. I think South's due. I'm going to go with the Gators.
Another battle of 2-0 teams here. When Hampshire goes to Cary Grove, I think the logical pick here is Cary Grove. Sean, you saw them play in week two after they coming off a week one loss. Tell me more about that.
They were really impressive in their win. They pretty much just ran right through McHenry, more than 400 yards rushing, and Tyler Pennington had about 130 of those. We have an interview with him coming up, don't we? Yes, we do. We'll go right to that.
Here with Tyler Pennington. Tyler, how big was getting this win after coming off a loss last week?
It's always nice to get a win, and it's especially nice after the way we played last week and the way we played tonight. So, it's always nice to get a win.
For you, a good game running, what was going well?
The offensive line blocked very well. you know, really they were just making holes all night, and I was just running through them.
And defensively, what was going right for you guys?
You know, we all just read our keys, and we all just had our assignments and played very well tonight.
Joe Hampshire's 2-0. Can they compete with Cary Grove, and can that offense move the ball against the Trojans?
You know, I think Hampshire could probably move the ball against a lot of teams because Jake Vincent is really good. They throw it. He's completing almost 75% of his passes for the year. And I think that they can cause some teams some problems with that offense, but Cary Grove is going to be really good. I will pick Cary Grove in this game.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Hampshire's obviously going to have a hard time stopping Cary Grove, but – you know, like you said, Jake Vincent, Jared Hornbeck, really good. I'm sure Cary Grove's well aware of that from seeing the film, that they have to do something to kind of throw off Jared Hornbeck and make somebody else beat him, like Tuzek, the running back, you know, Cam Fleury. They've got other options, Nick Rummel. But, you know, it's a matter of if Cary Grove's able to take Jared Hornbeck out of the game or at least do a lot to disrupt him, you know, does Hampshire have an answer?
That'll be really interesting to watch because last week, Cary Grove, the McHenry quarterback Colton Klein could not get comfortable. He was forced to run the ball like 17 or 18 times in the game just because he was flushed out. I, like Joe, I'm going to go with Cary Grove in this game.
Joe, and before we leave this game, wanted to take a minute and talk about your story on Matt Moore, the wide receiver from McHenry. I guess that's not the McHenry game that we're talking about, but we're going to head into the McHenry game now. They play against Elgin. They're 1-1. You know, they're probably a big favorite here, but tell me more about Matt Moore.
It was really a fun story. I'd heard a little bit about Matt Moore and Mackie Moore, the brothers. They were born in Haiti, and Mark and Maggie Moore, two people that now live in McHenry, adopted them. And it's kind of a strange thing the way it all worked out that they had two daughters of their own. They wound up adopting a baby from the south side of Chicago, a black child. So they thought, well, maybe we should have another black child so he doesn't feel alone. And they wound up getting Matthew. And then a year later, both of those birth moms, again, were pregnant. They had open relationships with the birth moms. They asked them to adopt those children as well. So they get a daughter from the south side of Chicago, and they get Mackie Moore, who's a cross-country runner. Matt Moore, better known as a basketball player, a really good basketball player. He's about 6'5", forward for McHenry, will be a third-year starter this year. And his buddies talked him into coming out for football this year. I'm sure Colton Klein probably had something to do with that because he's a basketball player too. And I think Maggie said she was kind of scared of having the boys play football. But since it's only 1 year that Matthew was able to talk her into it, he's been really good player for them so far. I think he has six catches, maybe about 150 yards and a couple touchdowns. I mean, he's a big guy. He can really run. So he's a great target to have.
All right, and McHenry's a team that had one win last year. They have a chance to top that this week. That's got to be pretty big for them.
Yeah, you know, it was tough last year. They lost a couple of those games to they lost a close one to South, and then they lost the two to the Strike. And yeah, it was just a rough year. And now they have, you know, Coach Nat Zunkel, and they're kind of reinvigorated up there, and it looks like things are going well. They might, you know, they will get this game. I'll make my pick right now. They will beat Elgin, and I think, you know, McHenry now with the win over South may have a chance to make the playoffs here. They may have a chance to get to five wins.
There's definitely some other teams that they'll be really competitive with, and there'll be some interesting games when you talk about Dundee, Crown, Crystal Lake Central, maybe
Jacobs,
Hampshire.
You know, the Hampshire, those games, yeah, all of them.
Sean, who you picking?
Elgin's struggling. I am pretty confident picking McHenry here, too.
The other FEC game is Dundee Crown at Huntley. If this were last year, it would be a really easy pick. This year, is it an easy pick, Joe?
Yeah, I'm going with Huntley. I think Prairie Ridge is really, really good. And that defense, I'm really impressed with the defense. What it was able to do is slow down Huntley. But I still think Huntley's a really good team. And Eric Mooney, we'll get that offense going. They're going to be tough.
And one of the interesting things with talking, we sat down and talked to Matt Zimelzak a week ago for this, and he said that he thought they were better run defense than pass defense. I was kind of interested in that. Sean, what are your thoughts on this game, Dundee Crown Huntley?
Well, we mentioned Greg Williams from Dundee Crown, the running back, and he probably will have a hard time against this Huntley defensive line. I also like Huntley in this game.
Joe, the interesting matchups in the KRC this year are kind of going to involve the Woodstock schools because you don't really know. They haven't played these other schools, so it's like what level do we compare, you know, the teams that didn't fare as well in the FEC Fox or were decent in the FEC Fox right around the cusp, like Woodstock North the last couple of years of the playoffs since, you know, 3 years ago they had a real good team and, you know, they went to Marion in the playoffs and barely lost against a good Marion team. But I don't think they're at that level now. So, you know, that's kind of leading into Woodstock plays Marengo this week. What level do you think these two teams are at? Do you think this is a competitive game?
I think it is a competitive game. I think it's a really big game for both of them, you know, because once you get to three wins and you're maybe two more away from being playoff eligible. And I think it's a really big game for Marengo. Marengo looks like it's a pretty good team again, even though they had all the graduation losses. And if the Indians were to get three wins, that'd be pretty big.
And I think it's safe to say that so far Marengo's had a tougher schedule than Woodstock, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Winnebago is a pretty good team. They put Elmwood Park away pretty well in the second half, but that first game against Winnebago, went right down to the wire.
Marengo in their first game, what did Eric Mackey have? Four touchdowns?
Of more than 60 yards, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And in the second game, they showed that they can run the ball too. So I think they have the makings of a pretty good offense there.
I think so.
Next game is Harvard at Woodstock North. Woodstock North comes in at 2-0. Harvard is 1-1 with the forfeit win and then the loss at a pretty good Plano team. Where do you think this game's going to go, Joe?
I like Woodstock North in this game. I agree with you. I think that the switch to the KRC is really going to benefit Woodstock North, and that may be the team in this league that offers the best challenge to Johnsburg.
Sean?
I think Woodstock North could challenge for the conference too, and I'm pretty sure they have Marengo next week, so that'll be another good matchup. But against Harvard this week, I like Woodstock North.
And then the other game you covered last week, Sean, Alden-Hebron, they head to Moose Heart this week. What are your thoughts on Alden-Hebron after seeing them?
They really slowed down in the second half. Especially, you know, they were running the ball heavy in the first half. They were playing Luther North on Saturday in a loss. They really struggled, after halftime, their offensive line could not really get any movement. They couldn't get anything going. And I think a lot of that was Luther North had a lot more guys on their side, and they were subbing out offensive and defensive lines a little bit. That being said, I don't know a whole lot about Moose Heart. But I think it'll be a little bit more favorable matchup than Luther North, and I'm going with Alden-Hebron in this one.
I'm trying to remember, was Moose Heart's win last week against Christian Life? I believe it was.
Yes, it was.
We know Christian Life barely had enough guys to play, and wasn't Luther North getting a vote in 1A?
They were.
Am I remembering that correctly? So that's a pretty good team. I'm going to go with the Giants in this, and I'll go with Alden-Hebron.
All right, that's all for this week's Northwest Herald High School Football Podcast. We'll see you again next week on Tuesday.